Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Friday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Acts chapter 15. It says, beginning in verse 35, "But Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, teaching and preaching with many others also the word of the Lord. And after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" That was the first missionary journey, and he proposes to Barnabas a second missionary journey to check on all the churches. "And Barnabas was desirous of taking John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work." He said, "John Mark, take John Mark. He bailed out on us on the first time. Strike one, you're out, pal." "And there arose such a sharp disagreement that they went to X and started to disparage one another." No, it doesn't say that. "There arose such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another, and Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches." Well, no doubt you've been hearing about the public feud, really sad, between Donald Trump and Elon Musk. The two guys that were so in love with one another. Elon Musk had posted, "I love Donald Trump as much as any straight man could love another man." There was such a bromance going on. And now trouble has come to paradise. It's a sad, sad day. So to help me discuss this, and we're not going to do it for the whole hour, but we are going to discuss it a little bit because everybody's discussing it. And then we're going to shift gears and talk about moms. But my favorite mom is sitting across the table from me. And it's my wife, Debbie. And she and I have had arguments over the 39 years that we have been married. We've never taken to social media to act like seventh grade girls. But
yeah, I was just thinking when you were talking about Elon and the Donald, the movie line from Anne of Green Gables came to my mind, where it's like, we're bosom friends, you know. and that's true. It's like, boy, how quickly that turned on a dime. You know,
it's pitiful. I was listening to Ben Shapiro, and he said, you know, you have two guys that are, billionaires. Obviously, nobody can match Elon Musk in terms of wealth, but two multi-billionaires, two guys with huge egos, two guys who are very powerful. And it's just two bulls. You know, you put two bulls together and they're going to fight eventually because one is going to do something the other doesn't like. You know, I have said, okay, so you have a problem with this big, beautiful bill. And I can see Elon Musk's point. And listening to Ben Shapiro, I can see Trump's point. And, you know, but why would you make that a public spat and a feud and start slinging bombs at one another for the whole world to see? You know, Paul and Barnabas, they two godly guys, and they have a disagreement, and it's such a sharp disagreement, as the scripture says, that they had to separate from one another. But they just agreed to disagree and still stay friends. And so you would hope that two guys who are adults and not seventh grade girls could say, hey, we disagree. And even if Elon Musk comes at Donald Trump, why didn't he just say, well, you know, I love Elon Musk. I thank him for all his service. He did such a great service to our country. He and I disagree about this, but, good people can disagree on how to go about a problem. It's not a situation of a moral issue. This is right and this is wrong. It's a situation about strategy and, hey, I'm fulfilling my campaign promises and those kinds of things. But I wanted to play a clip from CNN's Scott Jennings because he expressed, I think, well, the embarrassment that we all feel, conservatives who like Donald Trump and who like Elon Musk, and to see those guys argue in public is just pitiful.
Who gets you in the divorce, Trump or Elon?
Let me just tell you what every Republican is doing. I have my, here's where we are today. We're literally, heads are in the garbage can right now. That's the state of everybody I know at the moment. Not going to lie, it's an ugly day. You know, you hate it when your friends are fighting. I continue to believe that their partnership last year saved America. And I also continue to believe their goals are not mutually exclusive. Trump needs to pass his agenda, which this bill is his agenda. It's what he ran on. Elon wants to save America from going bankrupt, which they can also do if the Republicans in Congress and everybody works together. All of these things can happen. When the fights get personal, though, it means the enemy is advancing. And in this case, it means the Democrats are laughing and advancing. So hopefully cooler heads will soon prevail and the president can get his agenda and Elon can convince the Republicans that the debt is a serious problem. But not going to lie, rough day for the Republicans.
Yeah, definitely is, and it's very embarrassing. So, Debbie, as a mom of three girls, girls can be mean to one another, and I think Trump and Elon are acting like seventh-grade girls. How did you deal with it when Jill and Amy and Sarah didn't get along?
Well, I mean, that's just inevitable. I mean, when you're in relationship with people, you are going to have disagreements. I mean, that's just the harsh reality of life in this fallen world in which we live, right? And so I know that to some extent, they just kind of had to work it out, you know? I didn't always just step in and intervene in every little spat that they had because they, as children, it's crucial that children learn conflict resolution and how to communicate with each other in such a way that they can come to some kind of peaceful agreement. So I didn't get engaged and didn't get sucked into that vortex every single time that they had an argument because that would have been just my life, right, all the time. But to give advice along the way as to how to help resolve that, to help them see each other's point of view and that kind of thing, you know, but I was just thinking that all of this with Trump and Elon, it's like the curse of social media. Like, social media has a lot of benefits to it. It has a lot of good aspects. But overall, it has just caused such destruction in relationships and in the way people communicate with each other. It has been so detrimental because it's like people completely take off their filters and they just, with no reserve, share exactly what they think. And that was one of the crucial things that I remember trying to teach our girls early on is that, listen, you don't have to say everything that you think. It is not always beneficial and edifying for the moment to say every single thing that you think. Keep some of those things closer to the vest, you know, and I think that's part of just how social media has corrupted communication and relationships.
Well, it also shows that, you know, people can try as they might to suppress selfishness and self-centeredness, but that is really the core of sin. It's all about me. You know, the middle letter in the word sin is I, and sin is an I problem. And when you have two guys get together who are not, I mean, even believers, we can go back into that as, well, it's, I go back to my core, it's about me and self-preservation, and you're attacking me, so I'm going to attack you. And this doesn't glorify God. Paul and Barnabas, they had a problem. They couldn't agree. So they said, we need to separate. And I think Barnabas was proven to be right in this instance, as far as John Mark was salvageable. And Paul mentions that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last letter he wrote, bring John Mark with you. He's useful to me for service. And so he recognized that. But Barnabas probably should have acquiesced to Paul. Paul was the leader of the mission trip, and Barnabas should have said, okay, I think we should take him, but if you don't think we should take him, I'll submit to you. And he didn't do that. And obviously, the Bible doesn't have a lot to say about Barnabas after this departure in Acts 15, but it follows Paul. So yeah, I think that the Lord is saying Paul's ministry was the one that I was chiefly blessing. But it's just it's sad to see that stuff. And just, Debbie, as you said on social media, we see, you know, people get mad at one another and they lash out. We see couples doing that. It's like, come on, what are you doing? Because you can put things down there in social media and involve people in your argument. You know, hey, join my team to hate my wife or my estranged wife or whatever it is, or, you know, my dad, everybody join the bandwagon. My dad's a dirtbag if some daughter or son gets upset. It's just not worth it. Don't do that.
Well, I think, too, when you look at children, you understand because of just their phase of development, like they don't necessarily know how to resolve things. And so as a parent, in terms of your responsibility of teaching and guiding and instructing, you're helping them learn those skills all along the way. So you see two children acting like children and you think, okay, I get that. I understand mm-hmm. that. But when you see grown adults who should have a deeper level of maturity as well as skill set, when you see them engaging in very childlike behaviors, it's quite off-putting.
Mm-hmm. It's just pitiful. And so, as I've said from day one, with Trump winning the election, we need to be praying for those guys. You know, God can use them in great ways and wants to use them in great ways, but we need to be praying for them because at the core, people have a problem with sin, and sin is selfishness and self-centeredness, and it's all about me and wanting to be right. That's a big issue in arguments. I want to prove that, you know, you say it, I am right, and you are wrong. And people don't like to say I am wrong. I always think about...
liar, liar.
No, Fonzie.
Oh.
You know, Fonzie in Happy Days could never say, he couldn't say that, I am wrong, because of his ego. I don't think Trump can ever say, I was wrong. And, you know... I remember Damon Shook, our pastor for so many years, who's in heaven now, he said, you know, what are things a macho man can't say? You know, back when macho was a big word.
You're dating yourself, Sharif.
I know it. But what can a prideful man not say? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Those are three things that we need to learn to say, especially as parents. With our kids. You know, some parents don't like to tell their kids, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. That's important because you're not a perfect parent and you're going to do things wrong in parenting. And no doubt your kids will do lots of things wrong. They need to learn to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, please forgive me. But we need to model that. And if you don't, you can make your kids bitter toward you, because if you lose your temper and you discipline them out of anger instead of out of love, and you yell at them and do things you shouldn't do, you need to apologize. I remember when Jill was learning to drive, and I was terrible trying to teach her, and yelled at her, and she said, I don't want to drive with you anymore. Why are you always yelling at me? And I had to apologize. She was right. And Jill, I'm sorry. And it took her better part of a day or two to be able to forgive me. But it was important for me to humble myself and say, you're right, Jill. I was wrong. I shouldn't have yelled. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. So those three things. If you don't hear anything else today, when you're in conflict with somebody, consider what you've done to exacerbate the conflict. You might be totally right in terms of the issue, but you're wrong in the way you've handled the issue. And so own your part of the wrong and learn to say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and it's such a pleasure to have Debbie across the table from me today. And when we come back, we're going to leave the Elon Musk, Donald Trump feud, public feud, and we're going to move and talk about the job of being a mom. We have a great clip from Megyn Kelly. Debbie knows a lot about being a mom and juggling part-time jobs with being a mom, and then all the things associated with that. I think that being a mom is the hardest, especially a stay-at-home mom, the hardest job on the planet. And we want to just applaud every stay-at-home mom, especially when the kids are little. It is tough. Hey, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Claire from Trinity Debt Management. I'm a counselor, and the reason that I love working for Trinity is because I get to help folks with one of the hardest problems a family can face, and that's financial difficulties. In this day and age, everything is going up. You have higher utilities, higher grocery bills, higher fuel, and those credit card interest rates have gone up as well. We can help you with that. We can help you get lower interest rates, lower monthly payments. In just a few minutes, we put together a plan that gets you out of debt and keeps you out of debt. I love my job. It's a great program and a very smart way to find debt relief.
If credit card debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Claire, a Trinity counselor. Call me and become debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like
it
is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up, and we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch, and if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
The Ten Commandments are the foundation of a life that pleases God.
God gave us rules because rules can keep us safe from danger. They help us to know what is right and wrong.
They are God's word. They are God's laws, and they show that all humans are sinners.
When we instill them in our children, their lives will be forever changed.
They show us the way to live, the way to love our neighbor, the way to love God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind.
Soli Deo Gloria. To God alone be the glory.
The Ten Commandments Speech Challenge is a great way to get our youth aged 7 to 17 to learn and really focus on the depth of the Ten Commandments. All they have to do is write and present a 3 to 5 minute speech on why the Ten Commandments are important, with special emphasis on the first commandment. It's also a great family project because you can help them write and record their speech before June 30th. All the details are at afr.net/Ten Commandments.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie, and we're talking about Trump, Musk, and moms. So now we want to shift gears. Obviously, the Trump-Musk situation is very disheartening for so much of the country. You know, those that love it, good grief. Why would you love a public spat like that? It's just embarrassing for our country. But we'll leave that aside. We want to talk now about the job of being a mom. So I ran across this clip from Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly is somebody I like to listen to, although I can't stand the fact that she feels the need to cuss. It doesn't make sense to me. I just find that disgusting when you see a woman get on there and just start cussing. But this is a cuss-free clip, and she was talking about her kids' school and having professionals come in, and she mentioned to the powers that be at her kid's school, you need to have a stay-at-home mom come in.
Being a mother is a completely valid, beautiful, awesome, really important choice. I actually went to my daughter's school and I said, I think it's fine you have career night. It's an all-girls school. And you bring in doctors and lawyers and journalists and whomever. You need to bring in a stay-at-home mom. You need to have somebody stand up there and tell the girls, I made a totally different choice. And so much the better if she's got a great education. And she can say, yeah, I have all the same skills you have. And I was on the exact same path as you were. And I loved learning. and being introduced to the classics and being able to sit around a dinner table with so-called intellectuals and know the references. And I chose a totally different path when I graduated from those schools because there was one thing that was most important to me. And let me tell you how that's rewarded me.
All right, Debbie. So
preach
you,
it.
You left a career as a school teacher,
yes.
High school teacher. You taught 11th and 12th graders?
Mm-hmm. 10th, 11th, and 12th.
10th, 11th, and 12th. Geography and world history.
And economics.
And economics. Mm-hmm. Land, labor, and capital.
That's correct.
And you left that when we had our first child, Jill,
yes.
in 1987. Were you upset with me that I wanted you to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom?
No, because I wanted that. I was thankful that you were okay with that, you know, and I was also thankful that we had developed a lifestyle that we didn't rely on my money fully. And that because of that, it enabled us to be able to have me home and not be bringing in an income.
Well, I remember, you know, before we got married, we both agreed that we wanted to have kids. I don't know if we set a number. Did we say three?
We initially wanted four.
Oh, we did?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Amy and Travis.
Right.
Initially want four until you have three, and then you're like, we're good.
Well, I think we would have had four had I have been able to have four, because we had the two, had miscarried the twins. Then had the third, and the doctor was like, girl, you are done.
Yeah.
And so I think we probably would have had a fourth, but right. didn't work out that way for us.
No, and you had trouble with your pregnancy, the last two pregnancies.
Yes.
Well, all three of them, really, and when it came to delivery and having to have C-sections and that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, you know, I was always committed to that. We did lose... When you retired at a young age,
yes,
25,
uh-huh.
We did lose half our income.
Right.
Which was a lot.
Which was a lot, yes.
We had a house.
Mm-hmm.
$64,000 was our first house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nice house.
It was, yeah, it was a great house.
It was, what, 1,900 square feet, something like
yeah.
that.
Uh-huh.
And I had a sales job, and I had a company car, and not very much, you know, income as far as it was
a base. You didn't have a base. Very
my
much
base was small, $18,000 a year.
Right, we couldn't live plus, on your base
plus commission.
Right.
And so that makes you trust God. God, if you don't come through, we're not going to be able to eat and pay our bills. And you tried. You know, what you could do, you know, part-time here and there, doing stuff out of the house and that kind of thing. But it was worth it.
Right.
And it was hard. Tell our listeners how hard it is to be a stay-at-home mom.
Oh, goodness. You know, I will say this. It was very hard. However, as I compare it to parenting now in this current time frame, it was a lot easier being a stay-at-home mom when I was a stay-at-home mom. And it goes back to the curses of social media. The plus of social media for stay-at-home moms now is they're able to stay in touch with so many people, but there's also so much comparing and self-reflection and all these other things as you view these other people's media posts and their families and their children look so perfect, and you think, oh goodness, you know, I'm not that happy, my kids aren't this perfect. And it was just a lot easier in our decade to be a stay-at-home mom than it currently is. But it was definitely hard because, you know, you were gone. You left every morning before the kids woke up, usually, and you got home at a fairly decent hour, you know, between probably 5:45 and 6:15-ish, you would get home. So that was wonderful. But that could make for a long day, particularly if you had sick kids or, you know, and like now, back then we didn't have a lot of preschools and all those kind of things. And even for us, even though they were available, we could not afford those. You know, we weren't able to afford those all the time. And so it was just a lot of responsibility and a lot of alone time with just kids for me. And so that can be very draining and very tiring.
Well, and you're very structured.
Very, yes.
And very disciplined. Kids thrive on structure. They thrive on routine. You know, I think that when a mom is not very structured, when she's not very disciplined, you know, that comes naturally to you.
Right.
But like our daughter Amy with the three little boys, Jack's next month is going to be 4 years old, but right now 3, 2, and almost 3 months.
4 months, almost 4 months.
Almost 4 months. Man, it's just a zoo.
It's a lot. Well, and there's a huge difference between boys and girls as well.
Right.
Right? I mean, girls have a much longer attention span as a rule. I mean, that's not always the case, but right. Oftentimes girls have a longer attention span. So our girls would get engaged in doing something and could entertain themselves with that for a significant amount of time. That's one of the main differences I see as I watch our grandsons play. It's like from this to this to this to this back to this. I mean, you know, they're just all over the place because their attention span is just shorter.
Right. So Debbie, talk about the life of a stay-at-home mom. So you're when you have little kids,
mm-hmm.
so things change when your kids are in school, obviously.
Right.
But when you have little kids that are, I mean, we've watched Jack and Chase and Drew. I mean, it's a full-time gig.
Well, there's no break.
No break. You got to watch those kids like a hawk, otherwise they'll hurt themselves.
They could be dead. Yeah.
And so, you know, you get exhausted doing that.
Yes.
And they're making messes everywhere they go. You clean up and then 5 minutes later, it's a total mess.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so it can be very discouraging. Then your husband comes home and he's expecting you to have dinner, to have the house in somewhat of an order. Mm-hmm. He wants to be with you physically later when the kids go to bed. You can have a lot of pressures,
yes,
that you feel. How did you juggle all that? I mean, obviously you had a great husband, so he made it much better.
Yes, and you know, just a humble husband, modest, you know, so focused on everything else other than himself. I think the main thing is that you have to have realistic expectations. And so I see that so much in these young moms currently. They have so many demands placed on them, so many expectations of just kind of perfection almost in their parenting and how they deal with life and how they're always so put together. And, you know, it's 7 a.m. and they look like they could get on a model runway kind of thing. And I think it's the realistic expectation and always taking the long look, you know, that your reward is not today. Your toddler is not going to pat you on the back and say, man, mom, way to ace changing that diaper. I mean, you nailed it. I mean, they're just, thank you so much for changing my diaper. I mean, your reward is so far in the future that if you don't, with intentionality, put your focus on that, you can get very discouraged and think, what am I doing? You know? And so I can remember thinking, okay, I've got to just seize this moment and enjoy this moment. I've got to be able to do that. And like today, hey, if I get dressed today, it's been a stellar day. Because there are just days when that just, you just don't have time for that to happen. If you have 2, 3, 4 kids underfoot, you just don't have time for that to happen, particularly if one of them isn't feeling well or whatever. And
yeah.
So you just cannot have this Norman Rockwell utopic kind of vision in your head of how everything is going to go down every day, because if you do, you're going to be very disillusioned and very discouraged.
Well, I still remember sometimes I would come home and you spoiled me because you are very disciplined and you get a lot done that I just grew to kind of expect that. And so sometimes I'd come home and you'd meet me at the door and you said, they're alive, I did my job.
Yeah, you're on duty now.
Yeah, yeah, and be like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, or this one, I have let my guard down, my guard is down, you just need to know that. And so things wouldn't be picked up, laundry wouldn't be done. I mean, all of us would still be in pajamas. I mean, you know, it's just like, hey, this is just one of those days.
Yeah, I didn't like those days.
No, you didn't. I can remember a couple times I had a couple of those days in a row, and you would just kind of meekly ask me, "Hey, when do you think we're going to get your guard back up?" You know?
It's hard. And I remember one time when I was in sales working for Nalco, and I didn't feel very well. And I said, I think I'm going to stay home. And you said, good, you can help me. And I was like, well, wait a minute. On second thought, I think I can make it.
I feel better than I thought I did.
Let me take some aspirin and go. Because it was just hard to stay home. It's hard to stay home with little kids. And so hats off. I've said this before. Hats off to the moms who are doing that. And now working moms that are trying to do both.
Oh, See, for me, I could not have done that. And I think a lot of women, particularly if they financially feel like they have to work, it puts a lot of stress on them that they're really not designed to carry. There are a lot of women who just, they long to work. It's not that they have to work, but they want to work. And and that's a different scenario because they're able to juggle things differently because they don't have this underlying, not resentment, but just a frustration that they're having to work. It's because they want to do it. It would be super hard. You talk about having to just die to self and just say, okay, I'm never going to have any time for me. I'm personally not going to have any downtime because those responsibilities that are around the house that have to be done, they have to be done regardless of if you're working or not, working outside the home. And so to work outside the home from 8 to 5 or whatever and be gone at 7 in the morning, not home till 5:30 or 6, and then you've still got laundry, you've still got grocery shopping, you've still got meal preparation, you've still got the grocery store, you've still got errands for your kids. That's just a lot.
Well, and I think not every woman is like this, but I think a lot of women are like this. They feel a personal responsibility to, hey, we're going to have a good dinner and we're not just going to eat pizza or sandwiches or, you know, cereal or something like that. Because for me, that would be if food prep was up to me when
that
we had
be
little
terrifying.
Kids.
That'd be terrifying. Yeah.
I mean, it would just be the same stuff every day. What can I?
They would
I
be diabetic cook. Probably.
yeah. So, you know, you always did a great job making a great meal, even though when, you know, we'd sit down to eat with little kids and you would rarely eat because it'd just be like, this is
it's
misery.
Just, it would be chaos.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mealtime is almost always chaos with young children.
Yeah. And they're, you know, you're trying to feed this one and the others are crying. I don't like this or blah, blah, blah. So, but you get, here's the good news. You do get through it. And the time does go by. It, you know, you say this a lot when we do parent baby dedication. The days are long, but the years are short.
Well, and I just remember early on knowing deep within myself that all those special moments when your kids are learning things or doing funny stuff, it's like I wanted to be the one that got to experience that. I didn't want a daycare worker to get that privilege. I wanted it, you know, for me personally. And so I think there's definitely a benefit to your children for the mom to stay at home. But just selfishly, it's like, well, wait a minute. There was just a righteous jealousy, maybe, for lack of a better word. It's like I didn't want them to share that with a teacher at school. I wanted that to be with me.
Yeah. And I think that if we can say that's a good selfishness, I mean, that's the way God, he put that in our hearts to want to be, you know, want to be there. And, you know, I've maintained that, you know, God gives children to parents. And so we need to parent them and we need to take that job seriously. It is an important job. It's the most important job. I don't care if you're president of Exxon, raising up godly little boys and girls, that's more important.
Well, and I think too, because we were not in the social media era, I didn't look around and see other people having way nicer homes than us and having discontentment stirred within me. And so I think that's just something that these moms that are stay at home now because of social media, they have to really guard against that.
Right. Yeah. So be thankful for what you have and don't look at what you don't have, because that's when we could become ungrateful. We're always wanting more and more and more. We need to be grateful for what we have. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, talking to my wife, Debbie. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls 888-589-8840. That's 888 888- 859-8840. If you have a question or a comment, we've been talking about Elon Musk and Donald Trump and the feud. We've been talking about being a stay-at-home mom and the value and importance of that. So give us a call and let's talk.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Discover the story of the culture warrior, Don Wildman, and how he went head-to-head with Hollywood, Playboy, the homosexual agenda, and the Disney empire. The movement Don started paved the way for Christians to boldly stand for truth and righteousness in a hostile culture. Watch Culture Warrior today for free. Visit culturewarrior.movie.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Let's see, if something costs less, a lot less, but people are actually happier with it, that sounds like something to look into. And that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard joining MediShare can save you or your family up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true, people are just happier with it. They love being part of something that reflects and promotes their values and what they believe in. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years now, and members have shared more than $7 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care, whether you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan that you're happy with. Here you go. You can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes, a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. It's 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
You could be a part of our first ever weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi.
Our weekend with AFA event in October is going to be a chance to meet AFA supporters in person.
We'll have tours, fellowship, special speakers, and more.
I'll do some stand-up comedy, Abe will do some preaching, and I'm really excited about it.
It's a weekend with AFA, Thursday, October 2nd through Saturday, October 4th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Speakers will include Abraham Hamilton III, Jenna Ellis, Tim Barton, Tim Wildman, and more.
I am thoroughly looking forward to our Weekend with AFA coming up in October, where we're going to be able to meet our supporters like yourself, the fellowship, to visit our facilities here in Tupelo, and to have everyone come together for a wonderful weekend.
That's October 2nd through 4th. It's a Weekend with AFA, and we hope you can join us. Register at afa.net/weekend. That's afa.net/weekend.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my wife, Debbie. And we've been talking about the public spat between Elon Musk and Donald Trump. Very, very disheartening to see that. And it's just disgusting to see two grown men act like seventh grade girls. And so I hope they put that to bed. Listen, you can disagree with somebody and you don't have to do it publicly. And it doesn't have to be ugly. We just hired David Holder to come on board to be our pastor of education and discipleship and that kind of thing. And he made the comment, David says, veteran in ministry and a very seasoned, wise Christian. He said, you know, we, behind closed doors, we can disagree about strategies and things like that, and the fur can fly, but when we come out of the meeting room, he said, we're going to be on the same page, because we'll come up with a plan, and then we'll go with it, and I'll support that. And so I appreciate that heart and attitude. I wish Elon Musk and Donald Trump could do that. And then we shifted gears and we started talking about being a mom, and a mom has to referee, a dad too, referee between kids when you have more than one child. They're going to have disagreements, and they're going to get mad at one another, and they're going to fight. They're going to say ugly things. They're going to eventually start scratching, pushing, biting, whatever they do.
And it doesn't stop in childhood. You know, your adult children can still have issues like that, right? Hopefully they're not biting each other, but you know what I'm saying.
Yes, that's true. And so now we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. And we have Cody on the line from Texas. Cody, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, Debbie, thank you for having me. Hey,
how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I just, you know, like I said, I want to call in and just want to thank you all for the show that you have. I actually found the radio station yesterday, and when I heard you guys start talking about single moms, I tuned that radio up. I'm a single father and have been for a few years. I'm the only parent in the household, and so I hugely respect mothers more than ever now, knowing how hard that role is. So,
It really is.
It's a huge challenge, and, you know, being the person to work and take care of the children, it's got a huge set of challenges. Like I think Debbie was saying, I mean, you want to be there for all those special moments, but when you're doing both, you have to sacrifice some of it.
How old are your children, Cody?
Miss as little of that time as possible, and that's been hugely rewarding, and I believe the Lord is honored and blessed me there for doing that, so I could have as much time as possible with my daughter while raising and supporting her financially as well. So
How old is she?
She is 5. She'll be 6 here in August.
Yeah, that's a sweet age for sure. Well, hats off to you, Cody. That's hard to do, as you well know. And I just think as a society, you know, what Megyn Kelly said, we tend not to lift up those moms, those single parents, those dads that are doing a great job. And I think about the verse in Nehemiah chapter 6 where they tried to get Nehemiah off the wall, and he said, "I'm doing a great work and cannot come down." I just think about single parents, moms, and dads, and the work that they're doing, raising up little boys and girls to know the Lord and love the Lord and follow the Lord and teaching them things about life. That is a great work. And don't ever let somebody make you think that, you know, you're missing out on greater things and making more money and you know, doing things for yourself, investing in those children. That is pleasing to the Lord, and that pays dividends for years and years and years to come. So hats off to you, Cody, and thanks for listening today, and thanks for calling in. I really appreciate that. Well, we have our friend Alan from North Carolina on the line. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate so much your program, and especially the things that you were talking about, you know, really in both sections. The feud between Elon Musk and the importance of moms. Just making a quick comment on the importance of moms. You know, the phrase, "the hand that rocks the cradle steadies the nation," is so important. But my main reason for calling in was looking at the feud between President Trump.
Uh-oh. We lost Alan. Alan, call back if you would. I want to hear from you. Well, we have Christopher on the line from Louisiana. Christopher, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, sir, for taking my time. And I really enjoy your show, as well as especially when your wife comes on, because then you have that dialogue between y'all too. So I really appreciate that, getting from both sides.
Thank you.
One of my questions is, I was a stay-at-home dad for a few years while my wife was doing, you know, working from, you know, research. So we left from Louisiana at one time, moved around, and now we're back. Now I'm working on a degree to finish up to get back into the workforce. But one of my questions was like, when you have a stay-at-home dad, how do you help, like, the dad who thinks he has to be, like, you know, the sole provider, go from being, you know, in the workforce to now you're at a stay-at-home dad and trying to take care of the kids? You know, you have to invest into them, and that's very important. But that mentality of like, okay, I'm supposed to be working. I'm supposed to be, you know, I feel like I'm not doing my husband duty by providing. And that's just, sometimes you get complacent. So how do you deal with something like that?
Yeah. So Debbie, we liked the movie Mr. Mom with Michael Keaton.
That's an oldie. We're dating ourselves again.
Yeah, it's a good movie though, Christopher. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he dealt with that in mm-hmm. the movie. It's obviously a comedy, but I think that's very, very hard because I think God's just wired us as men to be providers. And you know, if you're in a situation where it's easier for the wife to do that and you stay home with kids, you can probably fight feelings of I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, or how is this helping, or mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So I think it would be important to for you and your wife just to know, okay, this is what the Lord has for us. This is what He wants us to do. And, you know, if you boil it down to God, what do you want me to do? And then when I know what God wants me to do, then I do it with all my heart. Whatever the Lord gives to you to do for work, whether it's working outside the home or working inside the home, then do it with all your heart, knowing it's the Lord Christ whom you serve. And then you can feel good about that. And regardless of what anybody else might say, you can say, hey, I have peace from God that He's called me to this. It may not be for the rest of my life, but it might be for a season.
Well, and I had written that down too as we were listening, and that's to just be all in. To just be all in with whatever God has called you to, and know that when you're being obedient to Him, He is going to bless you, and He's going to bless you in a lot of different ways. It's not necessarily going to be financially all the time, but He's going to bless you in being faithful and being obedient to Him and to do those things with your kids as unto the Lord. You know, I can remember getting really frustrated one time, feeling like just everything I did wasn't worth much, and you lecturing me, Jeff, kindly, but like, you know, reminding me that, hey, anything that you do as unto the Lord, He rewards that. And just having that kind of mindset that you are, just like Jeff said earlier with the verse in Nehemiah, you're doing a great work. And that relationship that you're establishing with your kids, and just the nurturing and the instructing and the teaching and the coaching and all of those things, those are not going to come back void. You're going to be rewarded for that.
Yes. Well, I appreciate it, Christopher, and may God bless you and your family, and just encourage your heart. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening to the program. Well, we have Alan back from North Carolina. We had lost him, and we were a little concerned, but now we have him back. Alan, go ahead.
Right. Well, the problem is on my end, and anyway, I wish so much, and starting like 4 years ago, I wish so much I could have met with President Trump and talked to him, because you know, he was receiving a lot of criticism, even from some Christian friends about some of the things he would say and everything. And I'd say, look, you know, our country right now is in serious peril, you know, an existential threat. And then President Trump is like a junkyard dog. You know, if both of you and I were on a walking down the street at 10 o'clock at night, and there were some three or four guys coming at us, then and if we could pick one kind of dog to protect us, forget a poodle, forget a German Shepherd, we would want to have a junkyard dog. And that's what, in some ways, President Trump reminds me of that. Well, I think Elon Musk is kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. If you remember when President Trump, I think that he was in the running for president, and Senator Ted Cruz was running. You know, I'm a native of Texas. I speak Spanish is my second language. I have a Hispanic godmother. And whenever President Trump said some of the things about Senator Cruz, you know, it really just, you know, very, very disparaging, and really goes to the heart of, you know, the Hispanic culture. But yet, whenever Trump was elected president, Senator Cruz has been one of his strongest supporters. Mm-hmm. And I want to hope that call of us to pray for this, that this relationship will be repaired. And, you know, for years and years, last 4 years, I have urged my friends to pray a Psalm 91 hedge of protection around the United States against all enemies, foreign enemies, and to pray Psalm 91 hedge of protection around President Trump against physical and spiritual harm and against all of his enemies, again, foreign and domestic, visible and hidden. But, you know, God works miracles. And I just, like I said, I wish so much that I could speak and meet with President Trump in person and talk with him about this and some other things and kind of help to give him perspective on this. But again, God can work miracles. He can repair this breach. And and I hope that this will happen. My most earnest prayer is that there be a move of the Holy Spirit across our country so that every person living here would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And then once again, our country would be a beacon of the truth of Jesus Christ to the whole world. You know, we would be that shining light on a hill. And I just really pray that that would happen.
Yeah, I think that's a great prayer. I love that, Alan, praying Psalm 91 for our nation and for President Trump and for his administration, and that the Lord would, you know, bring a reconciliation between those two guys. You know, two junkyard dogs, two bulls, they are like that, and two bulls don't do well together long term, and so the difficulties come. But as President Trump has proven, I forget who pointed this out, one of the guys might have been Ben Shapiro. You know, J.D. Vance called Trump a Nazi when they were, you know, feuding some years ago, and now he's the vice president. So Trump is able to put those things aside, and hopefully Elon Musk will too, and they can patch up their relationship and have a good working relationship. Maybe not the bromance they had earlier, but that might not be so healthy either. So God bless you, Alan. Thank you for calling in with that. We have time for one last call, and we have David on the line from Arkansas. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks, Pastor Jeff. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on, you know, when you were talking about how the bosses need to work things out behind closed doors. When I started my career in the aerospace industry many years ago, I had two bosses. Bob was the boss, and then Steve was like the second in command. And one time, they would both give me jobs to do, sometimes conflicting. But Bob told me one time, he said, Steve and I, sometimes we go at it and we just knock down, drag out, fight. He said, but that's behind closed doors. He said, I feel passionately one way, Steve might feel passionately the other way. And as we're talking, he said, sometimes I agree with Steve. You know, sometimes Steve agrees with me. And then sometimes we can't agree. And because I'm the boss, we go with my options. So he said, but we never bring that out in the public. It's just between he and I. So I think, you know, that's the kind of stuff that I learned early on. And, you know, it's like, I wish they could do that too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I think that's great. Yeah, you are going to disagree. Paul and Barnabas disagreed. That's okay. And, you know, it's not like, well, I'm right, you're wrong, you're right, I'm wrong. We might be seeing it from a different perspective. Debbie likes to, in our marriage conferences, she likes to hold up a cup and says, which side is the handle on? And the people say, well, it's on the left. And she said, no, from my perspective, it's on the right. So it's not always a question of you're right, I'm wrong. It's just we're seeing it from different angles. And I think with the Elon Musk, Donald Trump thing, they're seeing it from different perspectives. And both can be right. And they don't have to go after each other so viciously. But thanks for calling in, David. Good point. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. It's such an encouragement to get to share with you each day. I'm going to be out of pocket at the Southern Baptist Convention, but Alex McFarland will be filling in for me Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. And let me just say, I wrote the book, The Devil's Newsroom, and love for you to check it out, thedevilsnewsroom.com, thedevilsnewsroom.com. And I think it'll be a blessing to you. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.